D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Chris Mason, Predators television analyst. Chris, yesterday we were having a conversation about some of the hard questions the Predators have to ask themselves. Obviously, when a team is struggling, a lot of people look to the coach. We spent a lot of time this season talking about the job that Andrew Brunette has done. A word that has come up a lot in these conversations, and you and I have talked about this previously, the word system. People use it. They don't necessarily know exactly what it means or what the system exactly entails, and I'm guilty of that too. I'm guilty of that too sometimes. But my question for you is, if there were any tweaks that you would make to Andrew Brunette's system, especially down the stretch here, where it seems like a lot of the games in terms of the standings won't mean much. If you were to suggest any tweaks to the system, what would you do?
Well, you know, the one thing, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Bruno's system and what it is, and a lot of it is systematic. You know, there is method to the madness. But a lot of his system is based on anticipation and reads and, you know, anticipating the best way to get back on offense. Obviously, defensively, it changes a little bit and becomes a little more structured, but it's same thing. It's quick moving. It's fast. It's how fast can we get the puck back? You know, and this year there's definitely been some challenges. And I think at the beginning of the year, you know, and the beginning of last season when he was implementing it, he knew full well and everybody, it's going to take time to get this, and it did. And once they were able to get it last year, it seemed to really work for them. And this year, you know, when you add, you know, three players that have played a certain way, I'd say, you know, more traditional hockey sense in the aspect of it's more positional and you're here and you're here and you're here, and it's an easy breakdown. And if there's a breakdown on a play, it's because, you know, X, Y, and Z wasn't in the right spot. And now it's more of a read and react and try to push up the pace. So a lot of it's going to look different all the time. So, you know, if I was going to make a suggestion, I would, you know, just do something that would be a little more, maybe a hybrid. I know he has tweaked it in the past at points during this season as something that's a little more of a base to it, you know, to say, okay, well, this is what went wrong in this situation. You went, you didn't go, we have to go together type of a thing. And, at this point, I don't know if it's anything systematic, but if I were, you know, to maybe try to implement something at a certain point, probably would have been something more along the traditional lines. Although, having said that, I think the way Andrew Brunette wants to play hockey has the ability to make a team that maybe doesn't have the fastest skaters the ability to play fast. But it did take a while, as I think we all recognized, you know, Brady Shea, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, at the first part of the season, when essentially you look back now, you know, that kind of put them in this situation where they're unable to endure a rough patch here and there because they got so far behind. It took a while for them to get it. And I think, you know, Andrew Brunette's been on record saying, you know, that was to be expected and understood, but he was a little more disappointed on the guys that essentially, in quotations, you know, figured out the way to play last year and were unable to kind of, you know, push that forward in this season. So I would just, you know, that would be my only tweak that I might say, is just make something that, okay, everybody's brought up playing this way and we can tweak it from there. But that would be my only way. But I think his thinking was, if we just keep doing it like they did last year, they proved that they can get it, that they will. And once they do, they're able to have a high level of success with it.
You touched on something that I actually wanted to ask you. When this season started, and we knew that there was going to be an adjustment period for the new players, but I thought that because most of the players were familiar with Andrew Brunette's system entering the season, that they would carry the load, so to speak. They would mitigate some of the growing pains that Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea would experience. That obviously did not happen. So my question is, should we expect this to happen every season? Because I imagine that Barry Trotz is going to add some new players to the lineup in the offseason, and those players are going to have an adjustment period. So I'm just wondering, with the way that Brunette's system is, should we expect a slow start every year? Or do you just look at this as a blip on the radar, so to speak?
Well, my feeling on that is every time you do something and it doesn't work or you fail, you find reasons why. And I look back to the beginning of the season, and I think, honestly, a large part of it was you bring in star players who are obviously big personalities, big presence, you know, all-star resumes, Hall of Fame resume. And a big part of Brunette's season was finding ways to get to the interior. And I felt this year's system aside, I felt that to me was the biggest part, because I feel a lot of people defer to, like, let's say a Tommy Novak playing with Marchessault and Stamkos at the beginning of the year. I'm playing with Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. They won Stanley Cups and an MVP and this and that. I feel a lot of the younger players and the veteran players deferred to try to get them the puck a lot more in situations where they were probably better off taking it to them or simplifying their game and playing a simple brand of hockey the way that they were able to do last year that was extremely effective for them. And it turned them into a perimeter team. And when you look at the team last year, if you put roster on roster, you'd say there's no way that last season's team is going to be a better offensive team than the one that they have this year. But it was. And it was much, much more effective because of their ability to get to the inside and dominate those areas. And, you know, once they got down that rabbit hole of perimeter and it's not working and blah, 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 and then it became a thing. It's just, you can't just turn that on. You can't get that back. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of playing. It's a mindset. And, you know, we are where we are now. I mean, 16 points out of the seventh and eighth team in the wild card. And then, you know, you're 7 points or 6 points out of last place in the league, you know? So it's, to me, it was more of that in conjunction with knowing the players were going to take a lot of time. And I just don't think they had maybe the proper mindset with all those big guys coming in. And I think that was an issue early on that really kind of plagued them in the first 30 games.
Now, C-Mace, we're talking with Chris Mason. C-Mace, are you concerned with this team, with the trading deadline looming, that they may lose sort of that edge? Even though whether you're winning or you're losing, you never want to lose that thing on the ice or on the field that is going to cause you to just say, you know what, this season's done. I'm just going to play it out and get myself focused for next year. Are you afraid of that happening, or have you seen any indications of that potentially happening?
Well, I think right now, I think when change happens, and obviously I think at this point it's inevitable, I think that's a good, with the break coming up, I think is another good opportunity for players to kind of get away and just completely reset their mindset and just, you know, decompress and get a new lease on life, if you will. But, you know, we've seen this team do that before. I think, you know, back when they traded Ekholm and, you know, Granlund and everybody, and they were trying to maybe do a soft rebuild or get, you know, some assets for some of the guys on expiring contracts. I think we've seen how they've reacted in that situation, where it kind of rejuvenates you almost, and you're like, you have to reprove yourself. You do worry about that for some of the veteran players. But I don't think there's a character issue with this team. That's one thing I'm not worried about. I think the guys in there kind of understand, have a lot of pride. And I think, you know, they have so much pride that they would never allow themselves to do that. I feel right now, I think when you see post-game interviews, especially the last couple of games, when, you know, they went on that 5-game winning streak, it was the life and the joy was coming back into their game, their body language and the way that they carried themselves and everything. And I think now you're kind of seeing that dip again, just because it's so frustrating, in the last two games in particular, extremely, you know, disappointing with what's at stake in the season and the situation and trying to get out of this funk. But I'm not too worried about that. I actually think it'll have the adverse effect where, you know, you have X amount of games left in the season and you want to just, you know what, the least we can do is finish strong here. I expect them to have some younger players in the lineup going down the stretch, and they'll be looking to prove themselves and try to make an impact for, you know, potential roster spot next season. And with the star guys and the veteran guys, they want to salvage this season any way they can. And I think if you can go with a good feeling, I think at least you can go into the off season with, you know, feeling good about the way things ended up and have some excitement looking toward next season.
We're talking to Chris Mason, and Mace, you and I have spent some time on the recent broadcast, and it's tough because the game moves so fast, you can't really have a deep conversation. But so this is a better place for me to ask you this. your evaluation of UC Soros, because it's so easy to say, here's a guy who's 11-22-6, save percentage 901, goals against 287, and say from afar, hey, I thought UC Soros was one of the best goalies. Why isn't he elevating them? There's a lot more that goes into it. I could give you a lot of analytics numbers too, but how does it pass your eye test? How would you evaluate Juice to this point?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no question he hasn't had his best season. There's a lot of reasons why. And I think it helps when you put things in context. A, you know, the league save percentage is down overall at a really, you know, high drop off compared. It's been trending down the last few years, just the way the league's been playing. There's players are a lot more selective with what shots they take, meaning they're not just going to come down the wing and just try to, you know, get those high shot attempts. If you remember the Predators, you know, under Laviolette in that era, it was all about quantity, get the puck, shoot the puck, get it back, keep shooting it, regardless of kind of where you are on the ice. And I think now teams are more tactical and patient and when they decide to actually shoot the puck, because it moves so fast. And because I think if you wait a little bit longer in the skill level of guys, they can get it in better areas. So you're going to get less shots. You're going to get less, of those freebies, if you will. And, the other thing that I do is put it in context to other guys in the league. If you look as a goaltender, it's one position in sports. I don't even know if there's any other position really like this, where you have so much of an impact, where you cannot dictate a single thing that is happening in front of you. You just have to react what's coming at you. You can't change the game in any way offensively or defensively. You just have to make that save when there's breakdowns. And I think you're a product of your environment. And I don't think the Predators have been particularly strong defensively this year, quite the opposite. And if you look at guys like, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky, who went to a Stanley Cup final, who's, you know, won a Stanley Cup and all these types of things, I would put him in that category, but he's on a team that can score goals. I mean, his stat line is worse than Soros, but I would say that, you know, he's had a good season because he's winning hockey games. And I think that gets overshadowed. Igor Shesterkin just signed for whatever it was, $11 or $12 million a year for 8 more years. And, you know, the same kind of thing, but you know, they have their own issues. But if you look at a lot of guys around them, the Rangers aren't great defensively. So you get exposed no matter if you're a superstar goalie or not. When your team isn't good defensively, it doesn't matter how good of a goaltender you are, because you're going to face more high danger situations. You're going to start, you know, I know from playing on both sides, good defensive teams, bad defensive teams. When you play on a team that struggles defensively, there's more bad things that can happen per situation. So instead of saying, well, I know I have to worry about the shot because the back door is taken away, so I can just kind of focus and square my body for this situation because that's covered. When you play for a team where there's lapses, you kind of have to anticipate and maybe set yourself up for the next pass or the next play that could happen. So you get caught leaning, you get caught, you know, guessing a little bit and anticipation. And that's creeped into his game a little bit. I think this season he's played really well, I think the last 3 games, but it makes you more prone to inconsistency, I think. And I think we've seen that.
Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, joining us here on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. Chris, great stuff as always, my friend. Talk soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Chris Mason joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Barry Trotz. We are going to evaluate his performance so far as Predators general manager. If you have some early thoughts on how you feel Barry Trotz has done, you can get them in on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025. Duncan fans, we're all Duncan fans here, come experience the new age of Duncan at the grand opening of their newly remodeled Brentwood location at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane this Friday. Duncan will be giving away 100 days of free coffee to the first 100 guests in line starting at 8 a.m. Plus, Robbie and Rex Road will be there, broadcasting live from 6 to 9 a.m., and they'll have Predators tickets to give away.